From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Elodie Reed, filling in for Mitch Wortlieb. It's Friday, December 6th, and here are today's headlines. Republican Governor Phil Scott now says he wants to prevent Vermonters from seeing any increase in their property tax bills next year. A forecast published by the Vermont Department of Taxes this week projects a nearly 6% jump in property tax bills. Democratic and Republican lawmakers have signaled an interest in getting that increase down to 3%. But at his weekly press briefing on Wednesday, Scott said he plans to unveil a proposal that would keep property tax bills flat in 2026.
I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but we want to do everything we can to hold taxpayers harmless. So that's our goal.
Democrats say they're worried about the long-term economic consequences of using one-time money to buy down rates. But they say they're willing to consider any proposal Scott presents during the upcoming legislative session. Green Mountain Transit this week cut its service on 9 different bus routes in an effort to close a projected $3 million budget gap. The cuts are largely centered in the Burlington area. Clayton Clark is general manager for the transit agency and says the route connecting Jeffersonville and Burlington was completely eliminated.
Our hearts go out to the riders who are impacted, especially those folks on the Jeffersonville commuter who, were relying on that service. And, this week they've had to find other ways to get to class and to get to work.
Clark says there will likely be additional cuts in March and then again in June. Clark says the company will ask lawmakers for emergency funding to stave off some of those cuts when the legislature returns in January. Vermont's largest private employer, Global Foundries, recently locked in the terms of a $1.5 billion federal grant. The company will use the funds from the federal CHIPS Act to expand its Essex Junction and upstate New York manufacturing operations. President-elect Donald Trump criticized the CHIPS Act on the campaign trail. But earlier this week on Vermont Edition, D.C.-based consultant J.P. Dowd said the bipartisan bill would be tough to repeal.
It was a five-year bill that provided money from FY22 to FY27. And so we're a few years into it where the appropriations for a lot of it has already been appropriated. I think what the Trump administration has said is they're going to have the Inspector General of the Department of Commerce review all contracts. But I think they'll see that the Global Foundries one is airtight.
J.P. Dowd was the longtime chief of staff for former Senator Patrick Leahy, a leading advocate for Vermont's semiconductor industry. Many dialysis patients in Vermont are nervous about the future of their care. That's after UVM Health Network announced last month it plans to stop running dialysis centers in St. Albans, Rutland, and Newport. The hospital system said it will keep operating these centers short-term and hopes to find new providers to run these facilities. Nate Tebow is one of the nearly 40 patients who's treated in St. Albans. He says if UVM Health Network cannot find another provider, he would have to travel to Plattsburgh or Dartmouth to get care.
Someone like me, I'm capable of doing that. I'm younger. I drive myself to treatments. But the problem is the people who do not. So we're talking about diabetic patients that they don't have limbs or in wheelchairs. They take public transportation to get there.
Last month, three hospitals said they've begun discussions with UVM to find ways to maintain dialysis care. And finally, inside a laboratory in Hanover, researchers are using a 3D printer to create objects out of ice. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers printed a structure the size of a dollhouse this spring. The technology uses a special recipe, wood pulp mixed with water, to create a material that's stronger and more resistant to melting than ice. Kira Towle is an engineer at the Cold Regions Research and Engineering Laboratory. She says the 3D printing technology could eventually be used for road repairs and building temporary structures in remote northern climates.
In scenarios where your usual construction methods don't work, can you use 3D printing with the natural available materials and take advantage of the cold temperatures to use ice instead to get you whatever you need through the winter?
Now, Towle's team is scaling up the technology to print an ice structure the size of a doghouse. Coming up, President-elect Donald Trump's record on environmental protections and what his second presidency could mean for Vermont. That's after this. President-elect Donald Trump has pledged to restrict and roll back environmental regulations on clean air and water. Vermont has a reputation as a state with strong environmental protections, in some cases even stronger than the federal government. So, what could a new Trump presidency mean for those protections? Morning Edition host Jen Jarecki spoke with climate and environment reporter Abigail Giles about it.
So, Abigail, what do we know about Trump's agenda when it comes to the environment?
There's a lot we don't know yet, but we can look at Trump's record from his last tenure in office. During that time, the New York Times documented the rollback of more than 100 environmental regulations, affecting things like water and air quality. We also saw big cuts in funding for curbing climate-warming greenhouse gas emissions. Trump has long cast doubt on the scientific consensus that the Earth is getting hotter, primarily because of humans burning fossil fuels. But he's also said he supports clean water and clean air quality. The president has also talked about shrinking federal agencies like the Environmental Protection Agency to scale back the influence of the federal government. This is the item that lawyers I talked to said could be the most impactful for Vermont.
Well, Abigail, how could that affect Vermont's ability to enforce environmental regulations?
Well, the most important agency in the state for enforcing environmental regulations is Vermont's Agency of Natural Resources. I spoke with Secretary Julie Moore there, and she said right now federal funding accounts for about a third of ANR's budget every year. In particular, ANR's enforcement branch, the Department of Environmental Conservation, is very dependent on federal support from the EPA. So if funding or staffing at the EPA were gutted, it could have a big impact on Vermont's ability to enforce water and air pollution regulations and protections for wetlands and other protected ecosystems.
Abigail, what are some of the things most susceptible to change?
I think it's helpful here to think about ANR's work in a couple of categories. We have clean air and clean water. We have chemical contaminants and pollution. And we have Vermont's work to curb greenhouse gas emissions. ANR Secretary Julie Moore, she says during the last Trump presidency, there was a striking lack of federal leadership when it came to addressing climate change and environmental issues. For example, Trump pulled the United States out of the Paris Accords. That's the international agreement that Vermont's own statutory commitment to cut greenhouse gas emissions, the Global Warming Solutions Act, is based on. If Trump pulls out of the Paris Agreement again, the United States' ability to address climate change, which is caused largely by humans burning fossil fuels, could really hinge on states upholding those promises. At the same time, less federal funding could make that work more challenging.
Let's start with clean water. How could, say, an EPA with less staffing and less funding impact Vermont?
Less staffing at the EPA means less capacity. This could mean slower response times when Vermont has an environmental emergency, like discovering PFAS in Bennington or a toxic spill. It could also mean more tedious wait times for permits for new development or industry. And if ANR sees funding cuts, Vermont will have to decide whether to pay to staff up or face staffing cuts. The latter scenario might sound beneficial to industries like dairy farming, but experts I talked to say this wouldn't make regulations go away. It could just mean they aren't enforced in a way that's consistent and fair. Here's Patrick Parento, a lawyer at Vermont Law School who used to work for EPA.
That's kind of a fundamental principle of enforcement is you create a level playing field and you tell everybody, if you comply, I will make sure that you're not economically disadvantaged by those who are not compliant.
Then lastly, Vermont also gets federal funding for clean water projects that don't involve environmental regulation, things like tracking new invasive species in Lake Champlain. Scientists at the Lake Champlain Basin Program and University of Vermont say they're concerned about funding for this kind of work, but they ultimately view it as safer than programs that regulate industry because it tends to draw bipartisan support.
Well, that makes me wonder, Abigail, are there certain kinds of programs that aren't likely to change?
There are low-income home weatherization funding, for example, infrastructure investments like updating old water treatment systems. Under the last Trump presidency, there was also strong support for cleaning up Superfund sites as well. Vermont has 14 of those, mostly old mines and industrial sites. So Julie Moore at ANR thinks this sort of work could be safe.
Let's talk carbon emissions. Congress passed the Inflation Reduction Act and bipartisan infrastructure law in recent years, two major investments in cutting emissions, among other things. Trump has talked about pulling some of that money back. Could that happen in Vermont?
Long story short, it's hard to say. Vermont, as a small state, is heavily dependent on federal funding to cut emissions and enforce environmental regulations. We're also staring down some big, expensive investments, updating our drinking water systems to protect against PFAS or toxic forever chemicals, transitioning away from fossil fuels. Moore says ANR has received a lot of federal stimulus money for work on climate change and the environment in recent years. She says her agency has identified some $160 million that hasn't yet been drawn down and could get clawed back.
I don't think it's realistic to think that Vermonters can shoulder the full cost of what is needed to transition to lower carbon energy sources or to address contaminants like PFAS.
And ANR isn't the only agency worrying about this. The state is also concerned about an equally historic pot of federal money to help lower-income households in the state get electric panel upgrades and weatherize their homes and get access to solar. Lawyer Patrick Parento says so long as Vermont has signed a contract with the federal government for those dollars, they should be safe. But uncontracted funds could get rolled back. And staff at state agencies are worried there could still be loopholes. And of course, Jen, all of this is largely speculation based on the last Trump presidency. So much is still yet to come.
There will be a lot to keep track of, and we'll stay tuned to your reporting on it. That's Vermont Public Climate and Environment reporter Abigail Giles. Abigail, thanks again for your reporting and for being here today.
Thanks, Jen.
And that was Morning Edition host Jen Jarecki. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Peter Hirschfeld, Howard Weiss-Tisman, Michaela Lafrak, and Lexi Krupp. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Elodie Reed. Have a good weekend.